Jesus was very near Jerusalem, and he was passing the villages of Bethpage and Bethany, which were near the Mount of Olives. And he sent two of his disciples ahead into the village and told them that they would see a donkey that had never been ridden, that they should untie it and bring it to him. And if anyone says anything to you, just simply say that the Lord needs it. So they went into the village, and sure enough, there tied up next to a doorpost was a donkey. So they began to untie it and take it away. And sure enough, the owner came out and said, "What are you doing?" And they said, "The Lord needs it." And he let them have it. So they brought the animal to Jesus, and they put cloaks on the back. And Jesus sat down and began to ride into the city. And as he was coming down the road from the Mount of Olives, people were taking their cloaks and branches that they had cut from trees, and they laid it down in front of him. And a multitude began to gather, and they were praising God for everything that they had seen Jesus do, the miracles that were being performed through him, and saying, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in the highest heaven." But there were some Pharisees in the crowd there that day, and they told Jesus, "Teacher, get your followers to be quiet." And Jesus said, "Well, if they were to be quiet, then the stones would shout out." Jesus came into Jerusalem, and there he wept for the city. And he said this, "If you, even you, had known what it takes to bring peace, but your eyes are hidden from it. The time is coming when your enemies will build ramparts and surround you and hem you in on all sides. And they will throw you down into the dirt with your children right here within the walls, and not a stone will be left that has not been overturned, because you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you." And then he went into the temple. And there in the temple, he threw over the tables where people were selling things, and he said, "This should be a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of robbers." As we have said, this is not your ordinary parade. Not just go through the motions today. It's different. It's different. I read about an event this week that kind of mirrors this, and it is in 17th century England, and it's recorded by Lord John Culpeper. Perhaps you know of the circumstances if you're a history buff. It was during the time of Oliver Cromwell and his 12-year reign of the Commonwealth of England, where he took part in the assassination of Charles I, took over the government, and his son, Charles II, was forced to live in exile. Well, Charles eventually returned in 1660, and of course, Oliver Cromwell's reign was not popular. He tried a series of puritanical reforms and was very, very vicious to the Catholics, almost to borderline humanitarian crisis. So, when the word came that Charles II was returning, was kind of a groundswell. He landed in Dover on May 25th in 1660. And this sort of spontaneous, triumphant processional came about all the way into London. And the chant among the people was, Habemus Rei, we have a king. We have a king. And the message was carried from village to village, a joyous melody spread throughout the countryside. And it was said that the king should enjoy his own, a huge homecoming processional. People felt as if they were being delivered from a nightmare. It was going to be England's golden age, a supreme day of joy. This is what the gospel story for us today was like. It was a moment filled with possibility. It had a sense of exhilaration. There was a groundswell of people surrounding Jesus, throwing cloaks on the ground, leafy branches. Would this be the time when the Romans would be overthrown? Would this be the time when Jews from throughout the empire would be reunited that are dispersed in Egypt, in Greece? Would they come together? Would this be the time of God's kingdom reigning on earth? Is this Jesus of Nazareth the Messiah? Not a normal parade. They were used to parades in ancient times, just as we are today. They had their pomp and circumstance. They had a planned parade route. Typically, kings and conquerors came. But Jesus Christ, of course, was no ordinary king. He was a king of fishermen, of harlots, tax collectors, Samaritans, lepers, people who were possessed by different things, cripples, a blind man that followed him all the way from Jericho. He was not just an ordinary conquering hero, but a hero that conquered sin and death. Who could fathom such things, such concepts? And it must have made an odd sight to the Pharisees and to other naysayers as this ragtag bunch followed Jesus into the great city, spreading their cloaks on the road that must have looked like worn rags from the sweat of working. Must have been like the Isle of Misfit toys set loose onto Jerusalem. A donkey, symbol of humility. Is this the Messiah? Is it? It's a moment filled with possibility, but it was a fragile possibility. Already they were trying to shout them down. Keep them quiet, Jesus. Shut them up. Trying to demean them. At the end of the week, many were left wondering what happened. What happened? Like those two, they were on their way from Jerusalem to Emmaus. We thought this was the one. We thought, how many would be disappointed that this wasn't their idea of a king? Yesterday and Saturday, thousands marched nationwide from D.C. to New York and Florida to California. Here in Ohio, in Sandusky, in Columbus, and in other places, it's a movement that's filled with possibility, a movement that was brought about as a groundswell. And already there's people trying to shout them down, trying to shut them up, demean them, saying that they're only kids. What could they possibly know? And I wonder, will we be wondering what happened to that sort of anticipation that sort of hope of change weeks or months from now? Will there be peace? Will there be peace? People in Jerusalem did not choose peace. Ultimately, they did not choose the way of Jesus, except for a few. Wonder if they had chosen that way. If the people that were there on Sunday would have stood behind him on Friday as he was going to the cross. Jesus was referring to the destruction of Jerusalem, and he must have seen with his prophetic eyes in an open spirit that in a few decades that Jerusalem would be torn down, their dreams dashed. Had they chosen a different way, the way of Jesus, perhaps, could have been different. Let us choose this opportunity and seize the day, as it says in the Newsies. Choose the way of peace in your lives. Choose the way of peace in the world to follow behind Jesus. When I was in Massachusetts walking around the grounds, on the outside of the building, I didn't notice this until the middle of the week, and there's this plaque, a stone plaque that says Carpe Diem, seize the day, and there's a little sundial type of clock. Carpe Diem, seize the day, this is a moment. Recognize the culmination of the journey that we have been on through Lent, through this journey through Luke, where Jesus is going through the borderlands and Jericho, and all places in between in Samaria, visiting blind and tax payers and healing people. This is it. This is the moment. Recognize it. This is where the story is leading us this week. Luke especially wants us to get the point. He keeps mentioning it. How he's going to Jerusalem. He's going to Jerusalem. This is it, folks. This is where Jesus was talking about. Pick up your crosses and follow. Eventually, we'll have to put down the palm branches and pick up our crosses. It's where the decision is made now. Today. Jesus says, if you had chosen the peace today, the way of peace today. So choose it. Choose it. But if you do, know that this is God's journey. God is leading the way. It's not ours. We are not leading the way. We often want a God that we can construct ourselves so that we can ultimately be the one making decisions, but no. It's God's journey. We want to be on the journey that promises health and wealth and prosperity. It may not be in store for us. We want the journey that is following somebody who is always on our side, not necessarily our enemies. That's what those folks wanted that day in Jerusalem. And we know that because later in the week they were shouting a different chant, weren't they? Crucify him. Crucify him. They rejected his ideas and what he stood for. No, this is not the way that we want. Take him away. We want somebody else. So which way will we choose? Which way will we choose? God is going to do something powerful in the world. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? If we choose in the way of God, if we allow ourselves to be swept up in this groundswell of the movement that Jesus started, God will do something powerful through us, in us. We can be a part of that. But God has to be the leader. If you believe that God can bring wholeness and peace to this world that is kind of a mess, to our human condition, to the sin in your life, then spread out your cloak. Put down the palm branches. Make room for Jesus. Follow him with your cross. The Messiah is here. Do not let the parade pass you by.